shall we speak to God in prayer. Our Father, again this evening hour, in the name of thy Son, our Lord Jesus, we do humbly and gladly draw aside at the close of another day of life and enter thy holy presence in the precious name of thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We again this evening come to thank thee for the Savior. At the close of another day of life, our hearts are truly glad that we ever heard about the Lord Jesus, that we ever came to know him as our own and personal Savior. And our Father, we do bow tonight to thank thee for every soul in this room that knows him as Savior, that knows heaven as home, that knows their sins forgiven. We do bless thee for his great love wherewith he loved us. It was love that led him to leave the Father's side above, that brought him down to Bethlehem of Judea, to be wrapped in swaddling bands, to be cradled in a manger. Oh, what grace that brought the Savior down. It was love that led him to live that life here on earth, that perfect holy life before God and man. Yeah, it was love that led him to Gethsemane. It was love that led him to Golgotha. It was love that led him out to Calvary to Golgotha, there to lay down his life as a ransom for guilty sinners. We do bow and thank thee for the sufferings of Christ on the cross. We bless thee for all that he endured in love to the souls of men. We will never be able to fathom the depths of the sufferings of Christ. We will never be able to plumb them, nor tell them out, nor understand them. But we believe tonight that he suffered. We believe that he suffered once for sins, and then he sat down at the right hand of God. We bless thee that on that cross he was made sin for us. The one who knew no sin, he was a sin offering. Father, we cannot understand it, but tonight with all our hearts, we believe that on the tree, the Lord Jesus was the guilty sinner's substitute. His own self, he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. We bless thee for every soul tonight who has realized they're guilty, who has realized they're helpless, and who has come and accepted the guilty sinner's Savior and understood that he died for them. So, Father, we bless thee for salvation, and we look to thee that in this meeting there might be a soul saved. That is why we have come together. The meetings have been convened that these precious souls from Limavady and from County Derry and round about who come so well to attend these meetings, the purpose is that they might be saved. And Father, only thou can save them. We here can only declare the message, and we need thy help tonight to do it another time. But Father, when we have it declared, the work is thine alone, the glory shall be thine. And so we pray to move within the confines of this one gospel meeting, convict of sin, lead to repentance, and bring to the Lord Jesus Christ. We commend ourselves then to thee for a good godly gospel meeting, when God's voice will be heard, when souls will tremble, and when sinners will trust. We leave ourselves with thee, with our brethren, thy servants, wherever they declare this message of the gospel. We pray that they might know thy presence with them, and souls coming to Christ. We leave these cares in thy hand again now, in the Savior's worthy name.
Amen.
And we might further sing from hymn number 5. Hymn number 5. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see. We stand while we sing number 5.
Thank you.
man, Rudyard Hem, was called John Newton. John Newton was a notorious sinner. He was reached and saved by the grace of God. As an old man near the end of the journey, he was a gospel preacher. And his memory was failing, but this is what he said. My memory fails, but two things I remember. I was a great sinner, but Jesus Christ is a great Savior. And all of us here saved tonight can say amen to that. To know that we were great sinners, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the only and the great Savior who can meet the need of every sinner. We thank you for coming tonight. We make you most welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you to keep the meetings in mind as we continue in the gospel. We'll be here tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And then on the Lord's Day, we hope to be back again at 7:30 for the preaching again. And then we announce another week, one more week. We announce in the gospel at this time. We'll continue next week, Monday to Friday, at 8 o'clock. And you know, as our brother said last night, the greater part of the meetings are likely over, and soon they will be over. And soon the hall will be gone, and soon another opportunity will be passed. The time that you were settling down, my friend in the meeting, old and young alike, the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. And I would implore upon you tonight not to waste another day, not to let another night go past, until you repent of your sins and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. So please keep the meetings in mind. We meet to pray 30 minutes before each meeting, and we seek to pray throughout the day and night. Join us, brethren and sisters, at the throne of grace, that God will be gracious above all our feelings, and that he will save precious souls. We thank you for coming in his name. So I want to read tonight again in this gospel, chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 and at verse number 11 tonight. Luke 15 verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want, and went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found, and they began to be merry. Now the elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants, and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee,
ne'er transgress I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never givest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It is meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. So I wish to read, and I trust that God will bless the reading from his word again this evening. Now for just a few moments, again at the opening of the gospel meeting this evening, we want to continue our little study of Luke's Gospel chapter 15 that we have been conducting in the nights that are past. Those who will be here will note that we have now arrived at the third of the three parables, or the three-part parable, that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to these people long ago. You see, there was quite a company of people that gathered on this occasion to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, there was a divided company. There was two companies of people that gathered. It says at the beginning of the chapter, then drew near all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And you see, there was a great company, a multitude of souls who understood that they were lost and guilty, and they wanted to hear what the Prince of Life might say, what the Savior of sinners might have to say to guilty sinners, men and women and boys and girls. I hope that that's the company you're in tonight. I just hope that you've come to this gospel meeting, not that you might coil away this dark winter's evening, not that you might please a friend, but I trust that you have come this evening that you might hear how you as a guilty sinner might have your sins forgiven, how you might know that you're saved, how you might be sure of being in heaven at the end of life. We want to tell you we can never save you, but we have come to point you to the Lord Jesus, the only one who can save a sinner like you in this gospel meeting. Then there was another company of people that had gathered round as well, the scribes and the Pharisees. They were the religious people. They were the ones that were more holy than thou, as we would say. Here were the people, and they felt they were good enough. They had no need of the Savior. And they looked down at those that he was speaking to, and they had absolutely no time for the message that he would bring to them. Maybe you're here tonight, and really you've come, but you see, you're a religious person, and maybe you're a kind of a person that really feels you're good enough, and you're just like the Savior says, they that are whole have no need of a physician, and you feel no need of God's salvation. You feel no need of the message that we have to preach. But I want to tell you, no matter what condition you're in the meeting tonight, if you've never been saved, you need to be saved. If you've never trusted Christ, you need to trust Christ. If you've never been born again, you need to be born again if you're ever going to be in heaven. And so these people say to him, these Pharisees, they say, this man, he receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And I'm glad that that's exactly what he does. I'm glad tonight to tell you that no matter who you are, and I see so many faces in this meeting, and I have never seen you before, and I couldn't name you, but I want to say there's a God in heaven, and he knows all about you, and he knows whether your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life or not. But I want to say that if you're not saved, and if you're not on the way to heaven tonight, there's a God in heaven and a Christ who longs to save you. And he receives sinners tonight, no matter how far you've sunk, no matter how deep you've gone into sin, no matter how good you are, how bad you are, there's one that if you come as a guilty sinner, and as we'll see in a moment, repent of those sins, then you can be saved and sure of heaven and the very seat where you sit in this little gospel meeting. So, as we looked at the passages in the nights that are past, we saw, first of all, the shepherd and the sheep, a sheep that went astray, and a shepherd that was seeking. Lovely illustration of the Lord Jesus Christ as he seeks for souls that have gone astray. Every one of us have gone astray. We've got a nature within us that leads us to go away from God, a nature that leads us to do nothing, only sin. Last night we looked at a piece of silver, and we looked at a woman who was searching for the lost silver, a lovely type of the Spirit of God, as he would seek to bring men to the Lord Jesus, as he would speak to discover sinners in their sins, as he would seek to bring the light of the gospel to bear upon their soul. And you know, apart from the workings of the Holy Spirit, never a soul will move towards God. Never a soul will be in heaven, because only God can save. And only by his mighty, powerful, gracious Holy Spirit will ever one of us ever be in heaven. Or would ever one of us feel that we're guilty sinners in his sight, so it's all the work of God. Tonight we want to look at a lost son. You see, each of these little parables, they just all add together to give us a picture of how sinners are before God. And each one of us give us this clear message tonight that God is longing, and God is waiting, and God is desiring to save sinners, whoever they are, and wherever they have been. God's desire is that you might be in heaven. Or you say, I would like to be in heaven, but I just wonder if I could ever make it to heaven. I would never be sure that I was good enough. My friend, there's never been a soul yet that's been good enough to be in heaven. My friend, there's not one of us, if it depends on our good works and depends on anything we do, not one of us will ever be in heaven. But we sung in that second hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, I once was lost, but now I'm found. My friend, it's only the grace of God that brings us, and God desires that you and I would be in heaven. We have a son that went astray. You see, he went away from the Father's house. We read in this story, the Lord Jesus tells us. You see, the sheep, it was helplessly lost, but never could help itself. And the silver piece that was lost in the dust of the house long ago, it was hopelessly lost. It would never, ever be able to find its way back. But here's a young man, and he was willfully lost. He was one who had determinedly and decidedly gone astray. He just took his own course. And he rose and he went away from his father. He chose the pathway of the sinner. You know, he was a selfish young man. He wanted to have that which would fall to him. And he said, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And the man gave him that which he was due. And not many days after, he went away into the far country. A self-willed young man. There he is, some of those in the meeting tonight. And you know, you've heard the gospel down through the years from earliest days, and you've heard it much and you've heard it often, and yet tonight you have just determined within your mind that you're going to go your own way. And you say, if I could ever get out from under the sound of the gospel, if I could ever get to a stage in life that I could get away from those who influenced me to come, I'd be finished with it. I would leave the Father's house. I would move out, and I would do my own thing, and I would have a jolly good time. You see, this young man was seeking. He was a seeking young man. And we live in a day in 1999 when men and women and boys and girls are seeking. Here's a man, he was seeking pleasure. He was seeking satisfaction. He was seeking something that the world could never give. But he went to try it and to drink at the broken cisterns, as the hymn writer said. And his purpose was that he might live life to the full. Maybe you're here tonight, young man, young woman, young boy, young girl, and you have determined that if it's within your power at all, you're going to live life to the full. I want to tell you, and I want to warn you tonight, you're on the wrong course. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof for the ways of death. Oh, young man, stop and think. God loves you, and Christ desires to save you, and there's only hope in Christ, and the world can never satisfy. Because you, we see, as we go down the passage very quickly, we see the plight of the sojourner. Oh, he went to the far country, and he found every sin that it was possible to find. He enjoyed every sin that there ever could be. You see, I haven't come here to live a valley to stand up on this platform and to deny that there's pleasure in sin. My friend, out there tonight in Limavady Valley and in County Derry and across the province, there are men and women and boys and girls, and they're enjoying sin to the full, and they're having pleasure. And they're drinking deep at what the world can offer. And they're absolutely like this young man, they're decadent, and they're going in for sin and all its fullness. I want to tell you, you can have it. But I want to say this. God requires that which is past. And when the soul said and gone, as her brother looked at the passage there from Ecclesiastes the other night, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, and that little verse that ends something like this, know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. My friend, sin has got an end. Moses realized this, that there was pleasure in sin, but it was only for a season, and the young man, we see his disappointment. You see, when he had spent all, he took everything that he had and he spent it all in the world. And then when it was all done, it says he began to be in want. He was disappointed. I want to tell you, there's men could stand beside me in this platform and testify simply to this, that no matter what you could ever find in the world, it will only bring disappointment. At the end of the night, you're disappointed. At the end of the day, you're disappointed. And those who have spent their life in sin in this gospel meeting, maybe you're here and you've spent 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years in your sins. And if you were honest with me just right now, you're disappointed. And you've never got the satisfaction that you really desired. And you're always looking for more. And my friend, you're near the end of the journey than you've ever been before. And what a disappointment it really is. You see, sin, my friend, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. But you know, he was in a great dilemma, this young man. Because just when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. You see, there was nothing more that the world could offer him. The world, it took everything from him and nothing whatsoever to give him. And when his need was the greatest, when he was perishing, it didn't offer him one single thing. I want to say, when your need will be the greatest, when all around your soul is giving way, and when you've come to the end of life's little journey, my friend, without a Savior, never having had your sins forgiven, never trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, and when all starts to crumble, and when all is done and over and past, and when you need it most, the world will let you down, and your friends will leave you, and my friend, you'll slip out to the other side, to be underneath the wrath of God forever, because you never trusted Christ. What a dilemma. He began to be in want. He had nothing, and he looked for something to fill his stomach, and he had neither in him nor on him. He was absolutely destitute and down and out. You know, we come to the beautiful part of the story, because it says this, it says he came to himself. Here's the penitence of the sinner, the realization at last. I don't know how many days it was, or months, or years. It was likely a long time, but at last he came to the realization that he was absolutely destitute. He came to this realization. He said, I perish with hunger. A young man realized that he was perishing there in the far country, and there was bread enough and to spare in the Father's house. I wonder if you ever come to realize that you're perishing. Oh, if I could only know of one soul in the meeting tonight in Limavady who had got this realization that in light of the great eternity, I'm just a lost, guilty, hell-deserving, perishing sinner. And if I die as I am, I'll be underneath the wrath of God forever. I'm not saved. I'm not ready for heaven. I'm not ready to die. Young man, as you sit in this meeting tonight with great plans for the world, you're a perishing soul. And if you die tonight, you'll never be in heaven. Oh, I hope I'm making myself absolutely clear tonight. It's only those who are saved that go to heaven at the end of life. And if you're in the meeting as you were born, no matter what church you've attended, no matter where you've gone on a Sunday, no matter how good you've been and what your record is in the past, my friend, I don't need to know any of those things. If you've not got a moment when you trusted Christ, a moment when you were born again and saved, then I want to tell you tonight you're perishing. Tonight you're lost. Like this young man, he was lost. The Father repeats over and over again. He was lost, but now he's found. He was dead, but he's alive again. You're lost and you're dead and you're perishing. You're absolutely like this young man. You're without any hope whatsoever. You know, I like to see his resolve. Here's a young man, and he looked at the situation, and the realization dawned upon his soul that he was a lost, guilty sinner, for he did confess his sins before heaven and before his Father. And here's a young man, and he made a resolve, and this is the only resolution that ever counts as far as heaven's concerned. He made a resolve, if there's such a thing as getting back to the Father's house, I'll have it. He says, I'm going to return. He made up his mind. In other words, what we would say, he made up his mind to be saved. Here's a young man, and he said, if I can be saved, I will be saved. If there's such a thing as knowing that I could be back in fellowship with the Father, if I could ever get back to the Father's house and come to the lowest possible ground, I'd come in all my guilt and in all my need, with all my rags and all my nothingness. But I'm going to go, he says, I'm going to arise, I'm going to go to my Father. You know why you're not saved tonight, and you've sat for 40 or 50 or 60 years. Some of you here with locks of gray hairs upon your head, and you've never trusted Christ. You know why? Because you have never made up your mind to be saved, and to be saved tonight. It's never become important enough. Oh, you've always said, look, someday before I die, I'm going to be saved. Some of these days, I'm going to go in for God's salvation, and I know it's the right thing, and I'll get it before I die, but not tonight. Give me just another day or two. Give me just a little longer. There's things to do. There's people to see. There's places to go. I'll come to Christ another day. And here you are in this meeting, and in a few moments we'll close in prayer and sing the closing hymn, and you'll go out another time, and you'll say, yeah, I know what the man says was right, but not tonight. Oh, not just this Thursday night, maybe before the meeting's finished. I want to say, I can say to you, if that's your attitude, you'll never be saved in these meetings. And if that's your attitude in life, you'll never be saved. But the young man said, I'm going to arise and I'm going to go. And he did. He saved repentance, for the Bible says he arose and came to the Father. Oh, if one sinner tonight would arise and come to God as a guilty sinner. Oh, you don't have to walk up the aisle of the hall in front of all concerned, but come as you are by faith and acknowledging this, like this young man. He said, I'm going to arise and go. And here was this plea. He didn't say, look, I'm going to tidy up my life, Dad. I'm going to be better, Dad. I'll take a job and I'll try and pay it back. He said, no. He said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. He said, but I'm a guilty sinner, I'm not worthy. Just have mercy upon me. My friend, that's the only ground that you can come to God tonight, whoever you are. The only hope you have is God's mercy and God's grace. God's mercy that withholds from you and me that which we deserve. And God's amazing grace that gives to us that which we never deserved. And that's God's salvation. And you know, I love to see the pleasure of the Father. Because it says he arose and came. But when he was yet a great way off. I don't know how far he was. I like to believe this, that he didn't go very far before the Father saw him. I want to say, my friend, tonight there's a heavenly Father in heaven. And you don't have to take too many steps of repentance until he runs to meet you. There's a God in heaven, and he's more willing to save you than you are to be saved tonight. And heaven is waiting, and heaven is watching for one sign that you're coming, for one sign that you're done with sin, that you're finished with the far country. And then heaven is ready and willing and able to forgive on the basis of the finished work of the Lord Jesus. A sinless, spotless man has died. God has provided salvation, and he'll give it to you tonight. If you come as a guilty sinner, the only basis on which he'll give it to you is that you acknowledge, I'm worthless like this young man. I'm helpless, I'm hopeless, I'm guilty. Have mercy. And the moment you do, God is ready and willing, and he's able just to bestow salvation upon you through his blessed, gracious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a reception he had. The father ran to meet him. Oh, I love the picture of the thing. There he comes in all his rags. There he comes with his head down and all the filth of the far country. And the father runs along the dusty path, and he throws his arms around him, and he falls on his neck, and he kissed him. Welcome home. Welcome home. My friend Heaven is waiting to welcome you home tonight. Heaven is waiting that you might come. What a reunion. We never read that the journey home from where he met him. But he said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. He's arrayed in robes that were not his own, robes of righteousness. He's got shoes on his feet. He's got a new walk. He's got the ring on his hand that speaks of eternal union. My friend, once in Christ forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. If you put... My friend, Heaven is waiting to welcome you home tonight. Heaven is waiting that you might come. What a reunion. We never read of the journey home from where he met him. But he said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. He's arrayed in robes that were not his own, robes of righteousness. He's got shoes on his feet. He's got a new walk. He's got the ring on his hand that speaks of eternal union. My friend, once in Christ forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. If you put your trust in Christ tonight, you'll be saved this Thursday night. And you'll be saved for the rest of the days of your life, and you'll be saved for all eternity. Never, never can the bond that is forged at Calvary's cross be broken. The Lord Jesus says, I give unto them that is my sheep eternal life, and they shall never, never perish. What rejoicing. The Father says, come and rejoice. Let us be glad. Let us be glad and be merry. This my son was dead, he's alive again. This my son was lost and he is found. And they began to be merry. What a chapter of joy. Luke's gospel is full of joy and singing. It's the joy of sinners who come to Christ. It's the joy of heaven when souls come to Christ. If you want to have real joy in your soul tonight, you come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus. You trust Christ tonight and you'll get joy and satisfaction that the world can never give. You'll get a song to sing that will last for all eternity, a real song of joy. Come just as you are and trust the Savior and start for heaven now.
The prophecy of Isaiah, please, in chapter 45. Isaiah's prophecy in the 45th chapter. I'm going to read from verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near. Ye let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from an ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Now the Proverbs, please, in chapter 1. Look at the Psalms in Proverbs chapter 1. And we read again, it's the same God who's speaking in verse 24. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regardeth. But ye have said not all my counsel, and with none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. We know the Lord will bless this public reading along with what has gone before in our meeting. I've read to you tonight of a God who's calling a perishing world. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. There is a call extended to every sinner. Whether you're a wandering sheep, you've gone far away. Maybe there's one here tonight that her brother has brought before us, and you're down in the gutter of sin. We're not concerned what sin you've committed. But this we can tell you, that the Lord himself says, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. The call extended. But then I read to you in Proverbs, and the call refused. I have called, ye have refused. I will mock when your fear cometh, and I will laugh at your calamity. Then shall you call, but I will not answer. It's a sad day. It's a tragic day. But heaven refuses to answer. One thing greatly to be feared is a silent heaven. It's to be dreaded. Whenever heaven becomes silent to the sinner, that sinner is lost. Absolutely and totally beyond the reach of mercy. God says, you'll call, but I'll not answer. You know, whenever a child calls its father, the father answers. But those who are not saved tonight, God is not their father. Therefore, he refused to answer. But tonight, he offers you eternal life. He's the one who's willing to reach the prodigal boy. He's looking down in mercy tonight. If you were to trust him, he would be your father. Listen to him. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Saved. Wonderful word, isn't it? There's some in our world tonight don't like it. But I love it. Why? Because I'm saved. You know, many years ago, a steamship called the Atlantic was traveling past 500 miles south of Nova Scotia. And she got into difficulties. And eventually she sunk. Many there were who perished at that occasion. And a number were saved. One man, a believer, was on board that vessel. And his wife was home in New York. She was wondering how he was. And when he was a survivor, and when he got to Nova Scotia, he sent a telegram with one word on it. Saved. Man should understand it. Man, tonight, it's a reality to be saved. Mother, tonight, are you saved? Well, we're not asking you where you go on a Sunday. None of our business. I'm asking you a simple question tonight. Are you saved? You see, you're either saved or you're lost. Everybody needs to be saved. You see, that's why, listen to this. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth. What I need? A perishing world. There's a world out there tonight with billions in it. And every one of them need to be saved. You see, there's no heaven without God's salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ said, except a man is born again. I didn't say it. Wesley didn't say it. The Christ of God said, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know why you're not saved tonight in this meeting? You've never learned you're perishing. You know, whenever that prodigal boy came to this conclusion, I perish. Man, that was the very moment when there was hope for him. And you'll never be saved if you learn you're perishing. And all the world's perishing. Every sinner in the world tonight without a Savior is perishing. And all the ends of the earth need Christ tonight. Whether they're Chinese or Indian or Spanish, Portuguese, Irish, or British, any label they want. Every sinner in the world needs to be saved. It's universal, but I want to make it individual. There are about 100 people approximately in this hall. I haven't counted them. But I want to isolate you tonight. I would love you to feel isolated tonight. That you might realize I need to be saved. Have you ever learned it? Oh, I'm not asking you if you've learned it as a theory. I'm not asking you, can you quote a verse that tells you you need to be saved? But has the truth ever dawned upon your soul? I'm lost! And I need to be saved. You see, many a one has had a terminal illness and not aware of it. And then one day they take a little ache and they go to the CS consultant. And they fear the worst. And they maybe set them down in a corner of a bed, you know. It's just there's no hope. That's reality. My dad, 3 years ago, passed there in January. Was in hospital. We weren't too sure what was wrong with him. But one day, a consultant at Korean Hospital said, a brother and me, down in the seat opposite him in an office, he says, boys, there's no hope. No hope. That which we feared became reality. And I can tell you, that day, the least thing on my mind was work. I wasn't caring about one other thing. As I went into the ward to see him again, I looked into his eyes and I said, he doesn't know it. But it's going to eternity. But it's reality whenever he learned it. Thank God he was saved. And tonight you're sitting in this meeting and within your breast is a Christless soul. And you're not saved. Oh, that heaven might isolate you tonight. That this truth might grip your lost soul. I need to be saved. What a need. What a scope, you know. That's for whosoever this message. You say, but I don't belong to a certain faith. I'm not concerned what faith you belong to. This old book is out to a world of sinners. You know where we promised tonight to bid with one side and the other to talk about. But my book knows nothing about it. My book sees the saved and the lost. I can tell you tonight, no matter who you are, there's salvation for you. Wonderful thing, you know. You can't have gone too far down in sin. Man, that filled my heart, that story about John Newton. A man depressed. And the grace of God reached him and changed him. Oh, it always changes, doesn't it? Should. Changes the sinner. And tonight that old soul's in heaven. It's sealed. Listen to my text tonight. Look unto me and be ye saved. What a salvation. What a salvation. You see, it's not negative. It's positive. It's not being saved so much from, but it's being saved to. You see, we should be happy believers tonight. I meet some believers, you know, and they're walking depression. And then I meet others and their faces beaming. And they're an advert for the saving power of God's grace. That's a wonderful thing to meet a beaming Christian, you know. Why? Because they appreciate that my salvation that night whenever I trusted Christ, oh, the judgment of God was over for me. Never perish. That's a wonderful thing to be able to say, you know. Not that my name's in St. Anne's Cathedral. Or not that my name's in some other big cathedral. Or not that my name's maybe in a certain sect or a certain group of people in this world. Or if President Clinton came, and never know who I was. Maybe some here maybe met the President. I don't know. But I want to tell you tonight. The greatest thing for an individual in this world to know is that they're saved. Isn't it? Saved. To know that my soul is saved. The wrath of God will never fall upon me. I'll never be in hell. Oh, no better than anybody else. But I'm saved because I put my trust in the man that died in the tree. It's keeping me every moment of the day, you know. You see, if I was saved, I couldn't keep it. You're 100% correct. 100% right. For neither could I. And there's not one of us could keep. You see, whenever
You go to a dangerous road, whether you're a mother or a grandmother, a father or a grandfather, or brother or sister, if you're a wee child in your hand, you know, and you're going out to a dangerous road, you will never let the youngster grab your hand, sure you won't. You'll grab its hand and you'll hold it tight, because you're going to keep it till you land it safe on the other side. He shall keep me till the river rolls its water at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the love was at. You see, this works all of God. God says, not only did I save you from eternal fire, but I'm going to keep you till traveling days are done. You know, there's someone here tonight and you face some pains. Maybe an ailment. If it wasn't for the pills, you never manage. You might know something. The day yet future will all be well worth looking at. When we come into the fullness of God's salvation, actually the best is on before for everyone that's saved. We look forward with anticipation to the glory. See, this is not religion at all. Sure it's not. This is knowing that I'm saved. Look unto me and be ye saved. Unto me. What a Savior. Man, I want to tell you tonight, he's a wonderful Savior, as Jesus the Lord. He's worthy to be forever adored. Why? He's abundantly able to save. You see, there's not another one in the universe of God could say, look unto me. What a statement this is. This, could Gabriel say this? Not at all. Could Michael the Archangel say this? Not at all. Could the Apostle Paul say, look on to me? Not at all. What about Peter? Oh, not at all. Peter says, hold on a wee minute. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. This blessed Christ of God says, look on to me. Focus your attention on me. Oh, don't be looking around, you see, at religion. Don't be coming with your works or your prayers or your tears or all you've done. I was talking to a man today, you know, he told me, he says, Willie, there's a woman who goes to your church. She's 83 now. And for the last 35 years, every Sunday, she makes sure there's flowers in the church. I'm not going to criticize that dear soul. But I can tell you this, it hasn't brought her one step near heaven. Because it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's according to mercy. That's what our brother told us, isn't it? According to mercy, his mercy, he saves us. And the blessed Christ of God says, look unto me, and be ye saved. He says, I'm able to save you. I'm willing to save you. See, it's one thing being willing, another thing being able. A world of difference. A good number of years ago now, I was journeying to Ballymena. I came to a point in the road called Garryford Cross, and I could see quite a few cars about, and a burned out car on the hard shoulder on the other side, and the fire engine, and I could see the ambulance disappearing out of sight. And I stopped the manoeuvre, and I never felt as still as like in all my life. And I saw a big man, you know, and their faces were all soot and there were tears running down their cheeks, and I was prepared to speak, and I stood there a minute or two. Immediately one man with a broken voice said to me in the offer, said, what happened? He says, a man came down and he parked that car there on the side of the road. And him and his wife went across the way to the coin box. And they left their 9-year-old girl in the back seat. And she had the window screwed down and she was shouting over her mum and dad across the way. And the man came down in the dual carriage at over 100 miles an hour and lost control. And he hit the parked car and it just burst into flames. And the father standing in the coin box saw it and he ran across the road. And in the open window he put his arms around his child. And her legs were trapped behind the seat. And she cried, Daddy, save me. And that man did as any father would do. He did all his power to lift the earth. But the fire drove him back, you know. The man who came on the scene had to pull him back. They said he's away in that ambulance. And the cries of him had touched her heart. He says, I couldn't, I wanted, but I wasn't able. He says her remains are still within that burnt out wreck. Willing, but not able. Let me tell you tonight, there's one, he's willing, and he's able. Look unto me and be ye safe. I hope this touches your heart tonight, you're seeing. If it doesn't, around the foundation. I want to tell you, look unto me and be ye saved. Who said it? The only Savior said, I am God and there is none else. You know what he says? Look unto me. What did he not say? He didn't say, look at me. There's a world of difference between looking at and looking onto. You see, there were those who sat at the foot of the cross and they looked at Christ, but they perished. And you might say, if I had been living whenever Christ died, I could have stood there a few yards from the tree and I could have looked at him there dying upon that cross and then I could have believed. No, you couldn't. For salvation's not looking at Christ. Salvation's looking onto Christ. World of difference, you know. You say, what does it mean to look onto? It means to put your absolute trust in. You see, in order that he might die for sinners, heaven looked to him. Heaven looked onto him to die for sinners. Heaven's absolute trust was in him to die on the tree. Now, after he has died, he says, look onto me. Look onto me. Depend on me. You'll learn another illustration, won't you? Many, many years ago, when there's poverty in our land and other lands across in the mainland, in the time of the landlords, you know, times were hard. And there's this dear man, and he had a wife and three children, and suddenly he's cut down, he's taken into eternity. As he went that day to his burial, watched his remains been laid into Mother Earth. She came away, and as she came out of the graveyard, a man she'd never seen before put his hand on her shoulder. So I might tell you something, dear. If ever you're in trouble, look to me. She'd gone home, you know, and a week or two passed, and a month or two passed, and one night the door got a knock. And she opened it. And the landlord was standing, he says, you're 2 weeks behind with your rent. He says, have you got it? No, sir, I haven't. I said, I'll be here on Saturday morning to put you out. She sat down in the corner, and you know, the oldest boy saw the tears in his mum's eyes. He said, Mummy, what's wrong? She said, son, we're not able to stay here anymore. We haven't got what it takes to pay the rent, and on Saturday morning we're going to have to leave and put this out. Then she remembered. The man at the grave. He lived a few miles up the road in a big mansion. She says, son, I'm going out a wee message. You bar that door and don't open it till I come back. And she put her shawl around her, away she went. With trembling hands, she went and she got to the door. She knocked it, you know. And the lady of the house opened. She says, what can I do for you? She says, I'd like to speak to your husband. Then she went. He says, what's wrong? She says, do you remember me? He says, who are you? She told him. She says, that day you put your hand on my shoulder. And you said, if you're in trouble, look to me. And she said, I'm in trouble. What's your trouble? She said, you're going to be evicted on Saturday morning. I'm 2 weeks behind with the rent. She says, my dear, have you any family? She says, three as you know. And he says, I'll bring you on home. And put your children to bed and go to bed along with them and sleep content. And you leave it to me. Where she went. Came home to the wee boy at the side of the fire. And she let her in. Well, Mummy, what's happening? She says, son, it's all right. The man's as good as his word. We're not going to be evicted. What did she do? She looked to him. On Calvary's cross there's one nailed by the hands and by the feet. Crown of thorns upon his brow. You know what he says? Look unto me! He says, you depend on me. You're a hopeless, lost, prodigal child. You can do nothing. He says, you look to me. Listen to the word of assurance. What an assurance? And thou shalt be saved. Look unto me and be saved. It's not a possibility, it's a certainty. He says, you couldn't live or not be. He says, the moment you put your trust in me, you're saved. You're saved.
You say, will you feel it?
Not at all.
He doesn't say that. He says, the moment you put your trust in me, saved thou art.
Just in a moment. Tell you more, he says, I am God. What a signature. Man, you have it right tonight.
God has put his name to it.
He says, the moment you trust me, you're saved. And there I put my name to it. He says, that settles it. That's how I know I'm saved tonight. Not because I stand up here, or not because I go to the gospel hall, but because God says it. He says, the minute you trust me, I land you in the glory. Wonderful thing to be saved, you know. No wonder, he says, in Proverbs, I have called, ye have refused. Everybody's not going to be saved. I'm going to go further tonight. In all probability, everybody in this meeting is not going to be saved. In all probability, you're not going to be saved. I want to tell you, tonight is calling. But on that day, he's refusing to hear. He says, you'll call. Well, my God's not hard. My God is righteous. He says that I'm a just God. He says, I save you on righteous grounds, but I damn you on righteous grounds. If you refuse to believe my call, then you'll call. But I refuse. What will that mean? That means that you will spend eternity, which will never be spent, in the lake of fire, in the blackness of darkness, beneath the wrath of God forever. I trust it will never be your portion. Listen to the text tonight. Look unto me and be saved. All the ends of the earth. I am God. There's none else. Absolutely none else. You don't trust Christ to go heaven. There is none else. I trust it with your faith in tonight. And be saved for eternity, shall we pray. Father, we bow before thee to give thee thanks afresh for the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thee thanks for the one who's able to save sinners. We give thee thanks for the heart of God tonight that's watching and waiting and yearning. Heaven offers a welcome tonight to every sinner who will come. And we trust that our meeting comes to a conclusion tonight. As some boy or girl have trusted Christ, we commend ourselves now to thee again. Ask for journey and mercies on these dangerous roads, but Father, bring us news of salvation, and we shall give thee the glory in our Savior's name. Amen. 403, please. There's a voice that is calling to thee, and it pleads with its tenderest tone, while it bids thee from God's wrath to flee, and whispers to Jesus, now come. We'll sing the first two verses of 403 with the chorus standing, please, and our meeting is over.
There's a voice.